All these things that I've been bothered about, because while there are influencers who are going and educating, but I think the big problem here is that I think a lot of them are also setting the wrong expectations from the market, right?
My biggest worry is that are influencers front running less traded derivatives?
Financial literacy for the influencers is also quite important. The thing which they dole out very freely is something which they need to receive as well.
I mean, if India as a country has to grow, the capital markets have to grow, you want people to come, invest, trade in the long run. You know, you don't want people to come and go.
See, a lot of people come on shows and say that this IPO looks good, that IPO looks good. Now, this is blatantly violating the RA regulations, right?
You have to be foolish enough to waste money on a Telegram channel. Hopefully, it's not, selling the house and burning that money.
Hello, guys, and welcome to this podcast, a very important one which we are hosting on an extremely critical piece of regulation which has come out from SEBI over the last week. This is a consultation paper that the regulator has introduced, and this consultation paper is on the association of SEBI registered intermediaries and regulated entities with unregistered entities, including finfluencers. Now, this was launched last week, and to talk about what this is about and what it means to the financial sector and the community as a whole, we have with us Sandeep Parekh, who is like a foremost voice in India on the regulations on the financial sector, and we have Nitin, the CEO and founder of Zerodha. Hello, Sandeep. Hello, Nitin.
Hi.
So I'll just give a brief coverage of what the meta is about, and then I'll let Nitin and Sandeep take over this thing to tell us more about what this is about. So basically, the large meta which the regulator has hinted last week is that they are concerned about the financial influencers who are unregulated, who are playing a large role in the industry as of now. And the regulator has said in the paper that they are worried about the fact that influencers are taking incentives to sell products, services, or securities. And they are worried that the influencers may not have the requisite expertise to do this. And they're also worried that they're not subject to any kind of code of conduct when it comes to what they say or act. So therefore, they want to curb this. And the meta of the paper is that to curb this, they attempt to disrupt the revenue model of the influencers, which basically means that the paper says that registered entities such as brokers, RAs, RIAs, etc., cannot give any kind of incentives whatsoever to influencers for any kind of promotion. They also want to make influencers responsible for their actions. So they are hinting at some kind of registration. And then finally, they are trying to make influencers more accountable by giving a complaint link, etc., etc., right? So let me just lead it to Sandeep. Sandeep, what do you make of this paper? What is this all about? Where is this coming from?
Yeah, so I think this is coming from a lot of flack SEBI has been getting over the past year plus, saying that, you guys are not really taking charge of the securities market, the financial markets. You are supposed to kind of make sure that you don't have people who kind of, snake oil sellers who are trying to sell all kinds of inappropriate products. They're kind of getting commissions from people. They're getting money from people that they're not disclosing that. And, they claim they're educating people, but what they're doing is kind of misleading people into wrong investments. So I think in that backdrop, SEBI has said, okay, look, we are going to look at it from two angles. One is, we want to protect freedom of speech, which is, of course, guaranteed in the Constitution. If I talk to Nitin or to you about, let's company X or about even if whatever options trading or how it's done, etc., that falls within my constitutional right as such. Versus my responsibility to disclose any conflict of interest. And let me just spend 30 seconds on kind of probably the oldest case on something like this. It's a US Supreme Court case called SEC versus capital gains, and which looked at this topic for the first time long back then, where a person was kind of making recommendations to purchase or sell stocks but just before the recommendations were put out to his kind of customers or investors, he was buying just slightly, you know, maybe half a day before that. SEC kind of went after him, not for fraud, but for kind of breaching his fiduciary duty. And his response all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court was, look, this is not biased research. I genuinely believe this stock is really good, and I'm saying that. And the Supreme Court kind of sided with the SEC, saying that, no, look, this is not an action for fraud. Whenever you have a relationship like this, you really need to disclose your interest before you kind of make this recommendation, particularly given that you are actually trading ahead of your client in this. So I think we've had, I think, in a way, a convergence of the ASCII standards, which, of course, is not really a regulator today. Guidelines have come from there for regulating influencers. And I think SEBI paper is kind of the starting point. And the third thing, I think, from the enforcement angle would be almost every week, if you see SEBI website, they're passing some order against one person or the other for violating either investment advisor regulation, providing investment advice without being registered, or research analyst regulation. So, you know, I think that's the backdrop of this paper.
Nitin, would you like to add something there?
Yeah, no, I mean, see, the thing is, as a Zerodha, we've been beneficiaries of this. Okay, and this has been my problem, because, you know, this is life is full of contradictions, right? I mean, this is one of these things that I've been bothered about, because while there are influencers who are going and educating, but I think the big problem here is that I think a lot of them are also setting the wrong expectations from the market, right? And which is, I think, the crux of the problem, right? As in, you know, this whole, it's easy to make money in the market is, you know, like, how, you know, see how easy I've, you know, how quickly I've made this money, so you can also do it, right? I mean, as long as someone is setting this wrong expectation, I think it's bad for the business in the long run. While in the shorter run, you know, we might benefit, you know, in terms of uptick in accounts, not just Zerodha, you know, all the broking community. People come to the stock markets with the wrong expectations. They're going to get disappointed, and they're not going to be around for the long run. As in, you know, you want people to come. I mean, if India as a country has to grow, the capital markets have to grow, you want people to come, invest, trade in the long run. You know, you want people to come and go. And this has happened many times historically for this country. And that's one of the reasons I think we still, as such a large country, the capital market participation is still shallow, right? So I think I've had this problem right from the start of, you know, whenever this influencing thing took up, right? I think especially after COVID, it's just gone bonkers, right? As in the number of people going out there and creating content and making it seem like it's very easy to trade in the markets. And some of them are doing outright fraud, right? As in if someone is manipulating their P&L and showing it, you know, it's a problem. I mean, it's a fraud if someone's manipulating a P&L. I mean, there is no other way around it. And one of the reasons I think why, you know, you guys first started with that verified P&L at Sensible, and then us extending that was saying that if someone is putting up a screenshot of a P&L, we rather have a verified P&L versus a screenshot, because at least then, you know, someone can't be manipulating the P&L itself. You know, by using whatever, you know, some Photoshop, etc., to edit the screenshot. So that's the other thing. I think, you know, there's verified, you know, according to us, at least internally, the way we are thinking is if someone's making these false claims, there should be some kind of an action taken against him, because it's just outright fraud of sorts. The problem for us as a broker, you know, this is something, you know, I've highlighted, you know, we recently had this Q&A running on trading Q&A around this, is that as a broker, the thing is, we can't on our own take a stance here, because today influencers also wield a lot of power, right? As in, and us taking a stance can potentially backfire against the business. And whatever, you know, has to happen through a regulatory framework of sorts. And I think this consultation paper is really the right direction, which kind of addresses these problems, right? Which is someone is behaving like a advisor and an analyst. Today, I think a lot of people are taking, you know, this whole freedom of speech stance here to say that, you know, I'm allowed to act like one because I'm not collecting any money from the user directly, but they are indirectly making money, right? As in, I mean, a lot of ad revenue, a lot of, you know, like commissions, etc. I think the consultation paper kind of addresses that. I still don't know how the ad revenue bit will play out. I mean, there's something I wanted to ask Sandeep actually, is that, is it okay to, you know, to behave like an advisor analyst and not make any direct money? But what if you're generating ad revenue out of it? Is that okay? As in, because the problem here is the louder you are, the more viewership you get, right? So the incentive is always skewed to be loud on social media. And if you're, you know, somehow being able to generate ad revenue, I mean, say tomorrow, none of the capital market intermediaries pay any of these finfluencers. The finfluencers still can generate a lot of ad revenue. How do you see that playing out, Sandeep? There's something I wanted to ask you.
No, so I think SEBI has, I think, a neat answer to that, which is, you know, we have one baby, which is ours. The other baby is not ours. Which is, you know, the first baby is that they will, I think, the idea is to register finfluencers, which probably will mean, you know, that they have to, number one, get a registration number from SEBI. And number two, they'll be accountable to SEBI for not making these disclosures, which, you know, when I read them along with the ASCII code, which is interesting because it's quite sophisticated. You know, it talks even... it's quite granular. It even talks how many seconds should be the disclosure, etc. So if you read these two together, you know, really what SEBI is saying is if you're registered, we're okay for you to kind of associate with people within our domain. You know, brokers, investment advisors, etc. can use influencers to market their services, really, or any other affiliations, so long as disclosure is made. And the other kind of disowned baby is really that, you know, if you're not registered, you know, you can do whatever you want, really. We can't control you. It's freedom of speech. People want to kind of, even if it goes to the level of fraud, if you know, I think SEBI's stance seems to be that, you know, we will not associate or kind of be responsible for that fraud. You know, you as an investor, you kind of take ownership of, you know, people who are not unregistered, because here we are telling you that we're going to register a handful of them and you should deal with those influencers. How SEBI is going to actually kind of give, you know, whether it gets into something worse than today, I don't know, because, you know, then they're getting a badge of honor from SEBI itself that, okay, you are a registered SEBI influencer. And, you know, based on the quality of the all the seminars and the training that I've seen online, at least, again, I've never paid for any of this, but, you know, again, based on what I've seen on Twitter, etc., and it's kind of atrocious quality, really. So most of it doesn't even qualify for educational material. But I think it's a byproduct of the free money we have seen over the past two and a half years. And I think the biggest... teachers going to be people burning their money. And, you know, beyond a point, you know, if somebody wants to throw their money in the ocean, you can't stop them. So I think that seems to be SEBI's stance.
No, but does it even come under SEBI's power? For example, see, the thing is, as long, like the consultation paper suggests, as long as this person, influencer, whoever, is getting paid by a registered SEBI intermediary, at least, you know, they can control that. But if a person... know is not taking is has got no relation directly with the capital market, does it even come under SEBI's power? As in, can they really do something about it?
Yeah, so the answer is yes, and to the extent that if somehow it falls within the definition of investment advice, right, or research analysis, then it could fall within SEBI's domain. And as I said, almost every week we're seeing one order coming up from SEBI under both of these regulations. So if it falls within that, SEBI can and does take action. But, you know, a large majority of that is either, you know, so-called education material. Some of it is actually genuinely education. and a lot of it is ad revenues, like you said. I put out a YouTube video on how to trade in options, and I'm getting paid from whoever is paying me for that, etc. So I think both of these would continue to remain outside SEBI's domain, even to the extent of the fraud occurring. You know, if let's say there's a kind of a manipulated PNL, I don't think SEBI wants to intervene. And I think just the quantum of the bandwidth they'll require to go after each influencers, I think is something which is kind of restrained SEBI's hand, is my guess.
Got it. And on this RIA, please, I had one last question. If a person, you know, say, this is my understanding, right, is that if there is any commercial arrangement, is really when you need to be registered. Is that understanding right? As in, for example, I am telling you what stock to buy, but I'm not charging you a fees for this. I'm just doing it as, you know, freedom of speech or out of free will. So
yeah.
Is it considered as an RIA if I have, there's no commercial arrangement in place? I mean, same thing with RIAs as well, as in.
Yeah, so the answer is different for RAs and RIAs. For RIAs, you know, the definition of investment advice is somebody who does something for consideration. But when you look at the definition of investment advisor, it says, you know, it could be either be a person who's giving investment advice for consideration or putting himself out, you know, as an investment advisor. So even if it's without consideration, but you kind of hold yourself out, you know, this kind of a bit of a technical legal term. Essentially means that you put up your board saying that I am an investment advisor, I'm providing these services. Then even without consideration, you'll fall within investment advisor. Research and analyst actually has no requirement of consideration. So, you know, it's much broader really. And therefore, you know, anybody who provides kind of a research report would fall, you know, within the prohibition of, which is kind of the requirement of registration. And you know, if you provide research analysis without registration, you could get in trouble.
So then how is everyone today doing it? Doesn't, because you know, like everyone's putting out a view on social media, everyone's putting out getting on TV channels and giving recommendations. I mean, how is that working without any registration then?
So for investment advice, I think there are three categories. One is you're registered as an investment advisor, and therefore, you know, it's what all your disclosures, you can go ahead and make recommendations. Second is there are certain intermediaries like stockbrokers, portfolio managers, etc., who have been given an exemption, including distributors. They have an exemption, incidental exemption, so they can come on channels and talk about it. And then third category is really kind of the one which we're talking about, which is unregistered people who kind of coming in and giving gyan on either it's specific companies, or if they talk about generic stuff, it's probably okay. They'll probably fall within the educational exemption. But a lot of the people who kind of giving specific investment advice on stocks, for instance, would fall within the prohibition of, you know, providing advice without registration. So I think, as I said, you know, the numbers are too large for SEBI to kind of manage. So, which is why you don't see as many orders as you'd want to see. And, you know, again, at some point, it will clash with freedom of speech. You know, again, the dividing line is not always very clear, you know, where freedom of speech ends and where reasonable restriction actually begins.
So I think there's one more thing, Nitin, that so we are an RA and we follow the RA code very extensively, right? So the RA regulations of 2014 clearly say one thing. So if I were to opine about the general direction of the index or the broader markets, then I don't need any license for that. So basically, if I'm going out there and saying, I think Nifty will go up or all IT sector stocks will go up or Bank Nifty will go down, then I don't need anything. Like I'm just a person with a mic and a camera. I can go on YouTube and say that. The catch comes in when I say SBIN, nice price to buy at 231. Or if I say Nifty 19,500 call, decent to buy. So if it's a specific instrument like a Nifty call or a Bank Nifty put or an SBI stock, that requires an RA regulation even for me to say that this looks good, this looks nice, right? But if I'm just saying Nifty looks good or Indian banks are attractive or all the Indian IT companies might have a bad time next year, then it doesn't look great. The point is that this entire thing is so hazy that most people, including the, you know, people inside the industry, are not entirely aware that there is a differentiation between broad sectoral views and specific instrumental views. So in that gray area, a lot of people go on YouTube. And like Sandeep pointed out, the regulator can't go you know, behind every single person in Jubri Talaya and ask, "Hey boss, what did you say last week?" So I think that gray area plus the fact that enforcement is difficult is what is really making people say, "Hey, buy Bank Nifty call today." I think that's one area to look into.
Yeah, just to add, I think I think I should have mentioned that very clearly. I think you already pointed that out, that research analyst regulations does talk about, you know, these exemptions for general advice with respect to the markets, etc. So I think it's reasonably well understood, I would say, in within, you know, the sophisticated and limited market of registered research analysts. But I don't think most people outside that community understand how that goes, and therefore they dabble in both.
Sandeep gets it, I get it, Nitin gets it, but people don't. So they can't even go to SEBI and complain, "Boss, this guy asked me to buy Bank Nifty last week."
Got it. So Abid, over you. I mean, any other question?
So one of the things which I wanted to understand from Nitin especially is how bad is this thing anyway? How much of a scale are we looking at? How truly gone is the system?
It's really hard to put a number to this. So at Zerodha, you know, between 10-15% of a new business comes through referrals.
Oh, that's it. That's not significant.
It's not. I mean, in the sense, this is accounted for, right? As in, it means this comes through a referral link. And this also includes, you know, we have tens of thousands of customers who use these referral links to. So the influencer piece is, you know, is maybe 5%, like half of that, you know, and the rest of the piece is really, you know, customer referring each other. Now,
I think the paper is clear on that. Paper is saying that a limited number of retail client referrals are okay. The consolidation paper says that.
Yeah, no, but the question here is, how do you define a retail customer and an influencer? Because everyone today has a social media account, mm-hmm. and everyone's saying something about the markets and are potentially, you know, sharing these affiliate links, etc. So how do you define who's an influencer, who's a customer? Is it based on a certain audience? Because I think there's one regulation from before which says if you have more than 1 million, you know, like followers, you are a celebrity. And a broker is not allowed to associate with a celebrity, right? So will SEBI come up with a number like that, do you think, Sandeep? As in, who's of influencer?
Yeah, most likely they would, because actually this the paper is actually very, very sketchy, and, you know, it's quite grammatically also quite dense. You know, for instance, it's used the word limited referral. I have no idea what that means. So it's got a lot of phrases which are not very clear, and it's just very, very brief. This touches on the topic. So they're not very clear at this stage, but they will have to obviously come out with a very detailed circular on what are the definitions, who's going to fall foul. Not everybody understands that they need to be registered to provide investment advisor research analysis. So I think a bit of financial literacy for the influencers is also quite important. The thing which they dole out very freely is something which they need to receive as well. But broadly, you know, I think SEBI, I think my the mantra which I'd put in my book also is that SEBI sees this role as somebody who removes ignorance from the market and not stupidity. And, you know, this distinction is really important, because you know, beyond a point, if somebody, like I said, wants to throw their money on the ocean, and SEBI is not going to come and stop them. So if people are taking absurd advice, people are taking advice from unregistered people when they know they should be working only with registered people, you know, beyond a point, SEBI is not really going to care. This also comes from the bandwidth issue which I mentioned.
Yeah. Abid, you're on mute. Yeah. So I want to ask you a question. Now, you interact with a lot of traders as well. How big do you think that problem is? Because you are actually... you know, you're the one who is doing a lot more of this, you know, interacting through, you know, your YouTube channel. So how big do you think this is?
I think this is horrible. I'll tell you why. Because I think this is way, way bigger a problem, especially when it comes to derivatives, than anything else. And there are three major problems which I have a concern with, right? See, number one is that, so I have once noticed, I follow a lot of, I shadow follow a lot of Telegram groups in India. without letting them know that it is me. So one of these days, I noticed something that there was a option of a smaller capital stock, which I think it was IHCL, Indian Hotels. And there was an ATM option, which was trading at some price. Now, in that particular group, a call came asking people to buy IHCL options of a particular strike. And this was not a very liquid strike. See, first of all, even IHCL, the ATM option is not very liquid. We are talking about a less traded option. Now, after the call came, the option price moved more than the stock price. Whereas theoretically, an option price can never move more than an option, because the option is always a percentage of the stock price. An ATM option can only theoretically move 50% of the stock price. But the call given in that Telegram group of over some 50,000 people was so big that they moved the option price more than the theoretical value, and somebody benefited from it, right? And now my problem is this. My biggest worry is that are influencers front-running less traded derivatives? Because on ISCL, I think the lot size at that time was 2,000 per lot. And if somebody captured 2 rupees on a single lot, that's 4K. 10 people make this mistake, the influencer actually made 40K on a call. The second problem I'm worried about is, see, a lot of people come on shows and say that this IPO looks good, that IPO looks good. Now, this is blatantly violating the RA regulations, right? Even RAA regulations for that reason. Now, the problem is, there's no way you can prove that the influencer might not have taken a financial incentive from the promoter of the company to say that, look, boss, please peddle this to some retail investors. I want a nice exit, right? The third thing, which of course I am worried, is that, see, there is a possibility that somebody who owns a large enough Telegram group, let's say 100,000 people, there are several Telegram groups in India which have 100,000 people plus, none of which have an RA regulation. How do I know that they are not market making? Basically, they are not putting the bid and offer for something they are giving calls in. So I can say that, okay, buy this option at X price and put the offer in, you know, market. And then later I can say that, okay, stop loss time, please get out at this price. I can make the bid also. So because of this front running pump and dump and the whole IPO peddling issue, I really, really am worried that this is a much bigger problem, because I've not seen a single registered analyst or an RIA who has 100,000 people reach. But I really can't count how many people I know who run Telegram channels or YouTube channels with 3 million, 4 million kind of reach. This is the problem.
Sandeep, now for this Telegram group issue, right? You know, it is potentially the person who's running is not even an influencer, right? As in, it could just be an anonymous person. How do you... Yes. This problem, as in, it's almost impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's impossible, and you know, I think only part of the answer is really investor education, that you know, free money doesn't exist in the world. Part of it, I think, the learning has to be learned firsthand. You know, you have to be foolish enough to waste money on a Telegram channel. Hopefully it's not, you know, selling the house and burning that money. But, you know, beyond a point, it's very, very hard to kind of prevent stupidity. And, you know, I'm being blunt about it, but it's kind of, if you think that there is free money available anywhere in the world, I think you have to be pretty deluded, whether it's coming from a Telegram channel or whether somebody finds a 100-rupee note on the road. Are they going to give it to you, or are they going to keep it themselves, is the question you would ask before, you know, kind of following these guaranteed strategies of making money. And, you know, whether they pump and dump or whether there are other forms of manipulation, you know, almost all of them are guaranteed to be that. If somebody really knows how to make money, why would they share it with somebody? It's kind of logic 101, right? You know, by definition, almost all of them are kind of either snake oil or they're just outright frauds. You know, there is a bit of education involved, so I don't want to diss every single one of them. You know, you could learn, maybe you could learn options trading, but you know, you can probably kind of make what in economics is called rent. I don't think you can make profits out of it, but you can probably kind of make small amounts of money here and there. Of course, given the risk. But so I think overall, I think a large part has to do with number one, investor education, and number two, just the whole regime of free money ending in the Western world. And I think that's percolated down to India as well. And people have kind of, looked at all the meme stock mania in the West, and they thought that, you know, you can make free money in India as well. And, you know, the fact is, statistically, as you've been pointing out, you know, I probably seen more than 20 posts of yours talking about the SEBI paper. You know, beyond a point, you know, even I'm sure even you get tired of telling people that, okay, this is the, these are the official numbers. It's in our interest to kind of not tell you this, but we're telling you this nonetheless. So, you know, beyond a point, you know, how does SEBI or how does Nitin kind of tackle a problem like this?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we've thought about it quite a bit. I think the right time to teach about all of these basic money lessons is maybe even before you start making money. You know, like this is something that we've been, you know, every opportunity I get, you know, we've been trying to say that you need to introduce a little bit of finance in schools and colleges. Because once you, you know, you have fear and greed and all your money biases take over you, right? As in, it's very hard, you know, to change the way you think about money, as in, but yeah, but you're right. As in, I think more people have to come out there and talk about how there is no easy money out there. So,
just one question on the reverse side of the argument. See, you were initially saying, Nitin, right, that all the expansion of financial markets, that's something which is very critical in growing an economy and making people more inclusive in this whole financial sector, because there's no financial inclusion in India. Let's face it, right? How many people actually invest in stock markets? And if you generally look at any country, the growth in capital markets is an essentially driver of bringing capital to companies and, you know, getting them growth. Now, the point is, before influencers, see, we can say everything that we want against them now that this is out. The truth is that nobody probably has had the scale or reach of some of these names before they were there to educate the common man or woman in India to come to financial markets. They have given much more, you know, an intro. Like, see, I agree that some of the people might have started investing to them and lost money in a market which went up 100%. Some people might have 30% portfolio down, but it doesn't deny the fact that most of the people who made their first DMAT account transaction after COVID probably did it because they listened to a YouTube video, right? So wouldn't you think that a step like this to make influencers extremely regulated, right? Wouldn't you think that it might just be a step back in popularizing financial markets?
See, the thing is, okay, so firstly, and I've been saying this as well, a lot of people think India is all options trading. It isn't. You know, in the last year, I think there were 40 lakh people who traded on options once in the last year. And there were almost 2 crore Indians who traded in stocks. Right. So, you know, in a way, options trading, while it contributes to 80%+ of exchange turnover, it comes only really from 20% of active, you know, population out there. So, so it isn't, like I said, this whole option trading is a problem, but it's not as widespread as people think of it to be. Right. And you're right. As in, I think if whatever growth we've had in the capital market participation in the last 2-3 years, would it have happened if not for a lot of people going out there and talking about it in social media? Unlikely, right? As in, and I think what would have otherwise taken maybe 5-6 years has happened in the last 2-3 years, as in, you know, just the growth of the capital markets. I think the only, like I said, the only problem I've had with the whole influencing Janta has been setting wrong expectations. As long as, you know, they can correct that. I mean, we need this, as in, we need, you know, people to be going and talking about, you know, why people should be investing in stock markets and et cetera. The only thing I think we should try to figure a way is to, you know, kind of have some framework where the expectations are set right, which is that there is no easy money to be made in the market. Because if the expectation is not set right, like I said earlier, people will come and go, as in, you know, like why we've seen a lot of growth, you know, one little drawdown in the market and they'll all disappear. Because, you know, in that way, it is good for the shorter run, but not good for the longer run. And we need to kind of do what is right for the longer run for the markets, and which is people come to the markets with the right expectation. And then, you know, everyone's going to stick around. That's what we need you know, as an Indian capital market. So, yeah, so we need some regulatory framework, but it can't be such a way that no one in India can't talk about, you know, like stock markets at all, right? As in, it can't be that as well. It can't be like an experiment to it. But I think the consultation paper, I think what it's trying to do is to kind of remove some of these incentives, which potentially are conflicted, right? Is that should an influencer be generating commissions from whatever is talking? maybe not, right? Because like what Munger says, show me the incentive, I'll show the outcome. You know, maybe that removing that incentive is not probably a bad thing, you know, for this to, you know, at least, you know, like kind of exist in a format that we all think may fit in the longer run. So no, but for sure we need influencers, we need people who go out and talk about markets, educate, and all of that. I mean, there is no doubt about it at all.
And
yeah, so let me take a stab at this. So I think you know, in the past 30 years, this is probably the first time I've seen where you know, you had a huge foreign investor outflow around 6-8 months back, and the Indian markets are pretty stable because you saw a huge amount of retail and DII investments happening at the same time. So we really never saw the crash which most of the Western world saw 6 months back or 7 months back. So I think a lot of credit needs to go to domestic investors. How much of that is coming from influencers? Influencers really is, you know, I don't know if how much is causation, how much is correlation. But I would think at least we should give them a little bit of credit, at least if not more. To kind of bring in, you know, this whole capital markets outlook, you know, I think broadly they need to learn two things. One is diversification, the other is kind of the magic of compounding. I don't think most people need to know too many other things. You know, I think a lot of the stuff that we see on social media focuses on the short term, on the intraday trades and kind of other stuff. So I think if people realize the difference between good and bad in terms of taking away the good, which is, you know, long term equity risk can be really good for your portfolio versus, you know, people trying to make money in 24 hours.
One more thing which I wanted to understand is, see, SEBI can regulate everybody who's in India as an intermediary, right? All brokers, RAs, everything is covered. But then there's a key part of this, which is the influencers are not exactly operating only in regulated markets. I mean, how many times have we heard a crypto company going belly up or investors losing money in this? And effectively, the Indian regulators, capital market regulators at least, have no say in crypto. So what if this particular regulation causes an exodus of all the existing influencers en masse to something like crypto or betting on horses or who knows what people can bet on, right? What if it comes back as something much, much more problematic? What do you think of that?
No, so I'll go first. Okay. No, so I think, it is something which is people have to learn the hard way, like I said. People have to first throw their money in the ocean to realize it's not going to come back. So, you know, people can invest in meme stocks, NFTs, crypto, etc. And, you know, again, crypto is not one undefined mass. There are kind of relatively better opportunities within that, like Bitcoin and a lot of what they call all kinds of altcoins or shitcoins. So I think this people will have to learn it the hard way. I don't think there's an easy way beyond, you know, investor education to teach them about just these two simple concepts which I just mentioned. So people will kind of get into excesses. People, you know, we've probably lived in the biggest bubble in our lifetimes. And, you know, that is slowly bursting. It's still not burst, but it is deflating for sure. So I think people will have to learn the hard way. Nitin.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, if you look around, I think I don't know if it's good, not good, but you need to say that our government's also acting on it, right? Like, you know, all of these, you know, taxes that got introduced for crypto or gaming, etc., right? As in, or, you know, people who are moving money out of India to invest using CFD platforms or CFD platforms within, you know, RBI has put up a list of all CFD platforms saying that if you trade on this, it becomes a FEMA violation. So, you know,
just for our users, for clarity, by CFD, you mean contract for difference, which is basically trading in all these foreign currencies like pound and sterling and all these forex trading platform ads, which we keep saying you're talking about essentially that, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, so RBI has put up a, you know, bunch of 40, 50 platforms saying that if anyone trades on it, it's a FEMA violation. So in a way, you know, can this business suddenly, because, you know, there are restrictions on influencers here, move to some other asset class? At least in the ones that can move to, there's already some regulations and taxation, etc., that has been put.
you know, so it can't happen. Now, can it be something new, like you said, horse racing or something? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, can something new mushroom? It will. But if you look at how government's been reacting, hopefully we'll have, you know, very quickly someone's going to get up and plug that hole in us.
Sandeep, Nitin, would you like to add any closing words to this?
Yeah, so I think at some point investors will have to figure that there is a kind of registered and protected world, and there's the Wild West out there, and I think they'll have to be discerning and differentiate between the two and know that, you know, there is accountability, etc., within the world which SEBI regulates. I would think that, you know, even if this paper were to come to fruition, it will probably apply to 0.001% of all influencers and not to everybody. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think investor discernment will be key for protecting their assets. And, you know, we've seen, you know, 5 lakhs per investor loss is actually quite a large, massive amount, actually, if you think of the average investment which people make. So I think I hope this better sense prevails. People learn the easy but in a way difficult education and investment, which is it's long term, and it needs to go through particular registered intermediaries for it to be relatively safe. So once till people kind of either learn it the hard way or people learn it from investor education, I think SEBI will have a limited role to play.
No, I mean, I really like the Sandeep's quote on SEBI's job is to kind of remove ignorance and not stupidity, you know. So, and it's actually true, as in I've used every opportunity. As I've been trading in the market for 25 years now, you know, as in now as a Rodha, but before as an individual trader. And I've always been involved in some way interacting with trader, building communities, etc. So, and I can, one thing that I use every opportunity to talk about is that it's really, really hard to be an active trader and make money, right? As in, it's really the hardest place in the world to make easy money. Because I know I sometimes even say that it's easier probably making money buying lottery tickets versus trading the markets. Because, you know, if you buy a lottery ticket, you have a large outcome. You're not going to go use that all that money to buy more lottery tickets, right? As in, you will probably go do something with it. But in trading, you know, even if you had a large outcome and you made it in the wrong way, you'll probably give it all back to the markets because, you know, you're not going to stop trading when you have a large outcome, right? So yeah, I think people need to just internalize that, as in there is no other way around this. Should everyone trade the markets? I'm a little conflicted as a broker, but I think people should give a shot at learning, you know, trading, because, you know, it teaches you, you know, like money lessons like no other book in life can teach you. It'll teach you a way to, you know, understand yourself, you know, how you behave under fear, greed, and all of that. And this lesson is very important. You know, if today I'm a decent businessman, I think I'll give you a lot of credit for it, for my trading experience, because I think I've learned more about myself trading the market than any other book could have taught me, right? So there are a lot of, you know, upsides by trading the market. But I think the most important thing about trading is to quickly realize if it's meant for you or not, as in, because I think a lot of people get carried away and try to throw good money at bad money. I think the biggest trade of trading is really to stop trading, right? It's know when to, you know, like give it a shot, doesn't work, have a time stop or a money stop and say, you know, and don't do it after that. And I think anyone who claims that it's easy to make money trading the market, he's bad influence, just stay away from that person, you know.
Or he's good at Photoshop.
Yeah, he's good at Photoshop. I can't think of too many people who have consistently made money trading who talk about it publicly, right? As in, yep. You know, I mean, I haven't come across anyone, you know. So, like, because people who trade, you know, make money, you know, good money, they usually like to be private, you know. They're very fearful about, you know, telling strategies that are making money to, you know, someone else, you know. It doesn't work like that, right? The crux of the problem is wrong expectation from the market, I think, and the only way to solve for this is eventually is to avoid stupidity and getting carried away, you know, assuming that it's easy to make money. You know,
so as it always goes, buyer beware, I guess. So thank you so much, Nitin and Sandeep, for joining this. I hope this is as useful for everybody who watched it and as much fun as it has been for us. Thank you, people.